Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. This is Vernon Nelson with the Vermont Department of Health Asbestos and Lead Program, and we're going to do a presentation today on when asbestos is a public health threat and the role of town health officers and the training for town health officers. So we're going to spend about 10 to 15 minutes on reviewing some slides, and then we'll have another 10 or 15 minutes for question and answers from the participants. So please hold your questions until about a quarter of the hour. Thank you. Next slide, we're going to go to slide 3. Generally giving you an overview of the asbestos and lead regulatory program, and this program administers the Vermont Regulations for Asbestos Control, which is a rule and regulation and a statute that covers asbestos and lead licensing and certification, abatement permits, compliance inspections associated with those abatement permits, AHERA Asbestos Hazard Emergency Act for asbestos in schools, complaint investigations. We provide technical assistance and public education and outreach in association with asbestos issues in the state of Vermont. Slide 4. When is asbestos a health threat? I thought it was important to highlight this issue early on in the slides, because this is a question that comes up. And asbestos is a health threat to humans. However, asbestos fibers are only dangerous if they are physically disturbed, such as doing building renovation or demolition, which causes the fibers to float in the air and become a dust, allowing them to be easily inhaled. Now, town health officers may be contacted for assistance when this activity is associated in rental housing, commercial buildings, outdoor environments, or in the vicinity of public pedestrian traffic activity. And so these are the common circumstances when a health officer may have to get involved with asbestos. Otherwise, the asbestos and lead regulatory program pretty much handles most of the compliance cases, tips, and complaints. Slide 5. Slides are not advancing. Give me a minute.
I'll try it again.
Slide 5. What is asbestos? It's a naturally occurring fibrous group of minerals, and it has some beneficial properties, that is chemical resistance, bacterial resistance, it's incombustible, has good thermal and electrical insulation properties, it's a good acoustic insulator, tensile strength close to that of steel, very strong material, and it's good flexibility, it's abundant, inexpensive, and virtually indestructible. Those are the good parts of asbestos and why it's used in construction. I present a few pictures as we go through these slides of scenarios and circumstances. On slide 6, you'll see how it's used in buildings and damaged and deteriorated conditions that are fairly common in construction scenarios or abatement scenarios. Slide 7, just giving you a highlight of the common materials that you will common building material systems that you may find asbestos in. And it's primarily heating systems, steam boiler furnaces, floor coverings. You may find it in floor tiles, sheet vinyls, linoleums, adhesives associated with floor systems, cement, sheet board, millboard, paper type materials associated with stoves, furnaces, barns, fire resistant wall systems, door gaskets and boilers, furnaces, and stoves, soundproofing, decorative coatings, textured coatings, acoustic coatings in walls and ceilings. You may find it also in patching, textured compounds. Exterior homes, buildings, you'll find shingles, roofings, and cement sidings, that kind of material. So you'll find it throughout many elements of the building material systems. Common asbestos products, again, thermal systems insulation, a few photographs of what some of these things look like, fireproofing application, the middle slide on slide 9 is a gasket rope in a boiler system, and the right side of slide 9 is plaster coatings that you may find in wall and ceiling systems. Additional materials are fume hoods, cement board, wall ceilings, floor coverings. We're at slide 7, slide 11. Asbestos cement pipes is fairly common in water, sewer systems, and vent tubes associated with combustion vent systems in the homes. Other common products are the cement sidings. In the middle slide, photograph on slide 12, we have vermiculite material on the middle slide. It's a very common problem, raising its head a lot nowadays because it's one of the more recent materials that's becoming more commonly recognized in construction where it wasn't 10 or 15 years ago, and ceiling tiles. Slide 13, adhesives, window glazing, caulking materials. Slide 14 is just to summarize that asbestos is a very useful and versatile building material system component, but it has a very serious downside. It is a health threat. And during disturbing asbestos-containing materials in renovation will cause these materials to become airborne as airborne dust, and that's when there is a hazard or exposure risk associated with it. Slide 15, why is it harmful? Because basically the fibers break into sharp fibers, and once inhaled into the body, they are there indefinitely, and they do not break down, and this is what contributes to scar tissue, asbestosis, lung cancer, mesothelioma, and those related diseases. So it's there forever, it doesn't break down. Which types of facilities or premises may have asbestos present? In slide 16, it can be just about anywhere. There was over 4,000 materials, construction system materials manufactured and incorporated asbestos, so it's pretty common in most buildings. Schools, factories, offices, farms, hospitals, homes, churches, public buildings, it doesn't matter. It's been found there. Most commonly pre-1988, but you can find it after 1988. Construction. Some people believe asbestos has been banned, right? And it hasn't. There's not a full ban on the use of asbestos, contrary to popular belief. Only a handful of the products have been banned, and I've listed some of those on slide 17. The asbestos imports continue to this day into the United States. In 2011, 2012, there was over 1,100 metric tons of asbestos materials shipped into the U.S., and that's from U.S. Geological Survey data that's compiled. So it is still being shipped in, just not as much volume as it was 20, 30 years ago. So we're still having it intermittently put in new construction scenarios without people really realizing that's what they're doing. Why might asbestos be, where might it be found in modern products? Very commonly found in modern products now in current buildings under vinyl floor tile, mastics, roofing felts, roof coatings, cement sheets, shingles, pipes. Some pipe wraps, friction materials, gaskets, and non-roof coating type materials. It's fairly common. Slide 20, we discuss what is ACM, asbestos-containing materials, or you may also see it as ACBM, asbestos-containing building materials. This is when we get into the regulatory realm and when it's included in the building material systems. By definition, it is 1% or greater in content of asbestos. Asbestos this definition is used by both the state and the federal EPA to define what asbestos-containing material is. This does not mean that materials containing less than 1% are always safe. Exposure risks are possible if these materials are subject to dust-producing activities such as sanding, drilling, and abrading activities to make a dust. So less than 1% still can create some problems for us if it's impacted in a way that creates friable conditions. And further, I've explained friable conditions versus non-friable. Friable is basically when that material can be easily airborne and disturbed as a dust. Non-friable means it's fairly hard, bound in a matrix, and you would have to physically saw, drill, or abrade it to make it a hazard. So when it's bound, it's a relatively stable static material and not much risk associated with it. You have to intentionally or inadvertently make a risk, create a risk under that circumstance. Moving on to slide 21. Could you mute your phones, please? if it's possible, we hear some discussion noises in the background, so please mute your phones. We're at slide 21. I want to give an overview of the Vermont regulations for asbestos control, and I'll go through these very quickly. It's just simply these regulations require an inspection, survey, assessment, or identification of asbestos before renovation or demolition. And that must be done by a Vermont certified inspector. So when we need assessment identification, that has to go to a Vermont certified asbestos inspector to do that. Any asbestos identified in association with a planned renovation, remodel, or maintenance repair should be managed in a manner that does not create risk, or removed if necessary in order to make sure that they're not inadvertently impacted in the course of renovation. When the project is a substantial project, meaning that it's a major renovation or remodel, and we're going to impact more than 10 square feet or 10 linear feet of asbestos, there's a 10-day advance notification required to be submitted to the health department by the owner or the asbestos abatement contractor. That's to make sure that people are addressing this material before they get into the middle of their renovation construction activity. And it must be conducted in accordance with the regulations. So when we get the permits, we usually make sure those matters are covered. And it's a really good paper trail and a documentation to address how the material was handled, how it was removed, when it occurred, and it's a good file documentation piece. So that's the best of it being handled properly. On slide 22, I gave a little bit of additional information on federal regulations, which somewhat mirror the state regulations, but have some additional submittal requirements when it's greater than 160 square feet or 260 linear feet. And the only differentiation between the state reg and that is that EPA doesn't really care about housing unit construction less than 4 units. So the state does, EPA generally only wants the larger project notification. The state wants everything from a single house impact and up. And under both of those, state and federal regs, the notifications are required. The disposal documentation manifestation must be developed, maintained, and submitted. The materials must be adequately wet when they're being impacted, and there should be no visible emissions from those construction projects in the form of visible dust. Also, I added a slide 23 just to let you know that there's also health and safety regulations that governs any contractor with employees that's doing construction work, and they are subject to the health and safety regulations for worker protection, employee monitoring, work practices, and training. So this is intended to cover the workers and the employees of the contractors and subcontractors, but it doesn't really address, under the VOSHA regulations, public exposure risk and building occupants that are not related to the contractor conducting the construction. Now, on slide 24, the town health officers may receive asbestos-related tips or complaints from various sources. It could be from tenants, building occupants, neighboring property owners, general public in close proximity to the construction projects, construction contractors, dropping the dime on their competitors, those kinds of things, or other state health environmental staff personnel could engage the services of a health officer. So we're here to make sure that we can carry out this process in a somewhat of a seamless manner, and that's what this training is all about. On slide 25, I highlight your tools in the public in the town health officer's manual that are basic tools that are very useful. So if you're going to get involved in a tip complaint investigation for whatever reason by whoever, use that tip complaint form to collect who, what, where, when, and your notes. Transfer that form to us with photographs, observations, and that's where we say pictures are worth 1,000 words, and that'll really help us track these complaint files with good information with the role of the health officer and working in concert with the program. Health orders, cease and desist, corrective actions can be addressed when necessary. If we need somebody to stop what they're doing, isolate work areas, we're going to ask the health officers to help us do that with health orders or cease and desist orders. And corrective actions, we will CC the health officers and copy them on any actions that are being directed by the health department for follow-up action. Preliminary tip complaint intake, follow-up assistance, and this kind of information is should be forwarded to the asbestos and lead regulatory program. On slide 26, just to give a broad overview, 1 through 7, building, renovation, demolition, the proper sequence. If you have inspection, 10-day advance notice, permit applications, and the asbestos removal in accordance with the rules and regs, air quality clearance, disposal documentation at the appropriate landfill, and then the demoing a building after the asbestos has been removed, if you do those things in order, or any parties do those things in order, it'll be a fairly smooth process. Anytime any one of these things are not in that sequence, this is when we usually get the tips and complaints. If we get the tip and complaint and we're following 1 through 7 here, we have a pretty solid case and it'll be fairly quickly resolved. Okay? When to ask the asbestos question, I just gave a little illustration on slide 27 about how it's really, this is about inspecting and surveying as far upstream as you possibly can in this process. So the town health officer's guidance, the health department's asbestos and lead regulatory program and guidance is identify, inspect, survey so you know what you're getting into, and then do the appropriate contracting and removal, get the appropriate clearances and waste disposal in their smooth projects. We're typically getting the complaints when it's in that waterfall section here where it's too late and they're physically impacting and they're making the mess. And it's a little bit difficult for us all at that point. But when we come in at this point, it's about stop what you're doing, let's clean it up and get it on the right track. And that's where you basically are referring those issues over to the asbestos and lead regulatory program. And on slide 27, I just gave some highlights and links to the health department's website where you will find list of contractors and consultants when you need to refer that information to the public owners or contractors who need service providers to inspect, assess, survey, or remove. We have our direct 1-800 number there. Please give out this page or information to any parties who have questions. I've linked also the EPA's website, which has a wealth of information available and resources there. And last slide is reference to the VOSHA slide for the worker construction. So that's the presentation in a nutshell, and I'm ready for questions.
And just a reminder, if anyone is trying to ask a question and you've put your phone on mute, you will need to unmute yourself in order for us to hear you.
So any questions? Comments? If there are no questions or comments or any further dialogue necessary, then that will be the end of my presentation here. Lillian, do you have any other comments?
Nope. We have another training coming up in 2 weeks. We'll send out reminders about that as well, and as soon as we're able, we'll have this one posted online for folks to reference again. So thank you all for calling in and participating in today's training, and we will hopefully see or hear from you next time.
Thank you for your time. Have a good day.
Bye. Yeah.